All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Oilers Nation Radio, episode 191. Bag Milk here, Dan Coomzee. Tyler, Rick,
Coomzee.
This is a Quads. Flashback episode.
Quads? David Quadrelli from Canucks Army sitting in with us for a little bit as well. As we do every week on the podcast, we are going to start with our oodle noodle delicious debate. If you haven't heard, pull your life together. They've got a new store in Fort Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Shop.
You haven't been there? What the hell's wrong with you?
Pull your life together. Sort it out. Make plans for the weekend to go on out to Fort Saskatchewan, or you can order oodle noodle via DoorDash. Ding dong. Tyler.
Ding dong.
How are we starting off this week's podcast?
What is our debate? I thought we were starting with quads talk.
Oh, we can.
Or should we go delicious debate to keep the people interested?
Delicious debate quads. How much does a hat cost in Vancouver?
Yes.
Yeah. So hats are more expensive in Vancouver than they are here. Mm-hmm. Much like everything else in Vancouver, it's more expensive.
And it's not just the PST.
No, I was blown away. Like, it was $49.99 to get this Mariners hat that I'm
just
wearing.
Wildly
right now.
Expensive still.
And it was $59.99 back home. Like, that's how much they go for.
Dang.
But you do buy a hat with silver thread made of actual silver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look at sales.
Look at
somebody used to work there. Yeah. Anyways, delicious debate.
Well, it depends what the delicious debate is.
We just said we're going to quads, not the delicious
or
debate.
Or is quads participating in the delicious debate?
Why don't we have a debate about quads?
Okay. The oodle noodle delicious debate of the week is complete the sentence. Mm-hmm. And don't be a smart ass with me on this one, Coomzee. This is a hockey show.
Is that the start of the sentence?
No, complete this sentence.
The sentence is already complete.
The Oilers will beat the LA Kings if... blank.
Quads, I'm going to throw this to you because you're a Canucks guy. The Oilers will beat the Kings if...
if they get goaltending.
Like, how dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've said this every time.
I'm tired of your slander on
Mike Smith. Oilers podcast with you guys, mm-hmm. I say it's like, do you guys really think you can go deep in the playoffs with Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen?
Gonna have to.
Oilers podcast.
But they were.
You just text me because you're awake and you want to take a shot at the goaltender.
That's a fair take because the Oilers clearly have the better forward group. They clearly have the better D group. I shouldn't say clearly, but I think their D group
better.
Without doubt. So if the goaltending holds up, And they have the better special teams. So if the goaltending holds up, yes, the Oilers will beat the LA Kings. That's the only thing I could see singing them.
Mike Smith has an all-time save percentage in the playoffs of .931. He's a good playoff goalie. Except for that one time in the bubble when he got lit up. He's a good playoff goalie.
How old was he in the bubble?
49.
He was 38 30. And now he's 40.
Exactly. That's my point.
How old's Tom Brady?
Tom Brady is 2,000 years old.
Exactly. I think he's going to be okay.
Quads and he's can't already hear you. How old is Tom Brady, Quads?
45.
I think he's almost 45 now. That's ridiculous.
So Rick is saying if we put Tom Brady in net, we would win too.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, no one sits there and says, hey, listen, Tom Brady has to stay healthy. Nobody says that about Big Z out there in Chara. I get it. You've seen a couple injuries out of Smith this year, but right now, the way he's playing, I think there's no real worry when it comes to goalie.
Rick is not worried about goaltending quads.
Excellent.
There you go.
Not any more than any other team with a goaltender.
I will say that I'm more worried, I think, about if Jonathan Quick of old shows up.
That's what I'd be more worried about as well.
Because to me, Jonathan Quick is probably going to steal one game here.
Tyler disagrees.
Every playoff series, it always comes down to goaltending. Like I think any team that's gone on a run, I know it's not even a hot take to say that because obviously you have good goaltending if you're going to win the cup, right? You know, could Mike Smith go on some sort of run? Absolutely. But can you do it over four rounds?
Yes.
Okay. That's
maybe.
A fair
question answered.
Fair take.
Moving on.
I disagree.
Next.
The
debate is over.
Since January 1st, Cal Peterson has an .896 save percentage. Jonathan Quick has an .898 save percentage. The Oilers two goalies in that span. Todd McClellan
has had 45 haircuts.
Mm-hmm. Mike Smith is at .920. Mikko Koskinen's at .900. The Oilers have two goalies who since January 1 have performed better than the LA Kings two goalies. So again, I agree that like there's a chance Jonathan Quick is the Jonathan Quick of old somehow, even though we haven't seen that for a few years for a sustained stretch. But in a seven game series, you're right. He could just decide to show up and be Olympic level Jonathan Quick for 2 weeks and we're fucked.
I think that it's probably going to happen one game, maybe two, where Quick is like on his head and we're kind of just goalied. But yeah, I think
doesn't necessarily translate to a loss though, Dan.
No, to be clear, I think the Oilers are going to beat the Kings in the first round.
Good for you.
Like pretty.
How many games?
How many games?
I think Oilers in six, probably.
It's a brave stance. I appreciate that.
That's reasonable.
What was the question again?
Fill in the blank. The Oilers will beat the LA Kings if.
Coomsie.
The Oilers will beat the Kings if they score more goals than the Kings.
That is true.
That's not necessarily true.
What if they win 19? Well, that is,
yeah, okay, now he's throwing a curveball in here.
You're telling me if they play a game and the Oilers score more goals than the Kings, they don't necessarily win the game.
We're talking about the series. And over the course of the series, the Oilers could score more goals than the LA Kings and lose the series. So,
okay. So Cam doesn't know hockey.
Okay, I'll change my answer then. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. The Oilers will beat the Kings if they win four games.
There you go. That is true.
Knew that was coming from him.
Yep.
That's funny.
Wrote it in my notebook. Cam will say if they win four games.
Just write down whenever I say anything so you can edit it out.
Nation Dan.
Hold up. That would be a great bit. If every time Cam talked, we just cut it out. So the listener is just like, they keep referencing Cam, but I haven't heard him yet.
Would you just bleep me out or just cut it?
Just cut it out like it doesn't exist.
Cam, we're going to you. Oh, Nation Dan, what's your answer?
Just eliminating Cam from the entire universe.
Great bit.
That's fine.
Nation Dan, the Edmonton Oilers will beat the Kings if...
Jonathan Quick isn't Jonathan Quick of old. That to me is the X factor. It's the
when was the last time Jonathan Quick was Jonathan Quick?
When he plays us.
Yeah.
When Edmonton plays Jonathan Quick, every time he looks stellar. And it's just, I think that's just a perception of my own, but to me,
recency bias, maybe, I don't know.
I don't want that to happen.
He has in 40 games against the Oilers all time, a .923 save percentage. Jonathan Quick does.
That's pretty solid. Good.
That's real good.
That's a long time. That's a lot of games, and we are very bad, though.
This dates back to 2008.
So let's go.
Are you suggesting the Oilers were no good in 2008?
Scoring was not our greatest attribute back then. Yes.
In the last three seasons against the Oilers, Jonathan Quick is 2-3-1 with a .901 save percentage and a .267 goals against average. Okay. And this season alone, Quick is 1-1-1 with a .918, .229. So pretty good numbers this year against the Oilers.
The Edmonton Oilers will beat the Kings if Tyler.
I'm just going to agree with Dan. I get Quads' point about the Oilers need to get goaltending, but even if Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen falter, Edmonton might be able to beat the Kings because I don't think you can trust Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson to be consistent enough in a seven game series. So as long as Jonathan Quick isn't Jonathan Quick of old, the Oilers will beat the LA Kings.
And I'm going to say if Tyler wears the romper for all four games, they'll win.
It's a bold take.
There you go.
Have we gotten Rick's take yet?
Rick? Edmonton Oilers.
I'm replacing if with a period.
That's your good answer.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Quads agrees.
He's replacing if with just a period.
Yeah.
It's more of a statement than a question.
Commentary.
We didn't have enough pairs of headphones, so Quads can't hear anything Rick says because he's on Zoom.
I like that you translated that for him off mic, but that was the only thing that was on mic. So
that actually gives me an idea. We should submit, upload different versions of the podcast where someone's audio can't be heard. So if you're like, okay, I want to listen to Oilers Nation Radio minus Dan, yes, then I do the no Dan edition.
Yeah, the no Dan. Just muted on that. No Dan's allowed.
Oh, that's bagged milk, by the way, sir.
Yeah. Well.
Quote, somebody write that down.
Was there a government name?
Government name.
Oh, no, no. Wow. Okay. No, I understand what happened there.
What?
But now it has.
No, been. Nothing happened, but now it's a thing.
It's been confirmed. Everybody's listening back trying to figure out where the bleep is now.
All right. We've decided that the Oilers are beating the Kings. There's the delicious debate. Oodle noodle. New location out in Fort Saskatchewan. We're going to move on because my boy Quads has limited time. Tonight, the Nation crew, we're going to the hockey game. Quads, you're joining us. Oilers wrapping up the regular season against the Canucks. What do we need to know about the Vancouver Canucks, David Quadrelli?
Spencer Martin's in net. Mm-hmm. And there was once a time when Canucks fans thought that the Oilers were going to trade 2 first-round picks for Spencer Martin.
Wasn't that just a rumor you started?
Yeah, that was a joke that was started on Twitter. We call it Tajception because Taj is like the guy who listens to everything Canucks related and tweets it all out. And sometimes he'll just like stir up controversies and then insiders will like message teams about it. And then the teams will be like, no, we haven't heard this. And then they'll keep messaging until someone says, yeah, this is possible because they heard it from Taj. So we call it Tajception because he literally will create things that get picked up by like Elliot Friedman and the insiders because Taj tweeted it. And then they check with enough people until one person says, yeah. And they're like, yeah, it's tweeted and it's Tajception. So who knows? Maybe Spencer Martin gets traded for 2 first, but in all seriousness, you know, the Canucks aren't playing for much. JT Miller is like 2 points off of 100.
Are you surprised he's still here? Do you think he was going to get traded at the deadline?
No, I think he's getting traded in the offseason. I think
really?
It's one of the easiest layups for this organization to make is to move him at the draft. And as Frank Saravalli pointed out, teams will be downright horny to acquire his services.
Did Frank say horny?
He did say horny. That was
right, Frankie.
That was written up by Taj.
I'd like to have a little clip of that.
Or just like a button where it just says downright horny.
In my voice.
Yeah. That's really good. Surveyor Brad, feel free to clip that one. Go ahead.
The Tajception thing is fascinating to me. Like Vancouver's social media seems to kind of bubble under the radar, but like Mr. Booth is another account that causes a huge amount of uproar.
Is that account still suspended? Because I love his account.
So, back, isn't it? I know Mr. Booth personally. Yeah. So I've become the Mr. Booth beat reporter, which has led to people thinking that I'm Mr. Booth because I have like Instagram DMs and I always tweet it out whenever he gets suspended.
Are you Mr. Booth?
No, I'm not. I don't have enough time. But every time he gets suspended, I put out statements on his behalf. I'm like, this is a statement from Mr. Booth. And he has something to say every time he gets suspended. So I think he's on his like third or fourth account. And maybe off air, I'll tell you guys why he keeps getting suspended, but it's quite a story.
Yes. Murder. So social media though, you guys are having some fun over there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes. It's fun to be on the Vancouver market, social media for sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong, just circling back to the game tonight, even since the Canucks have been out, have they been playing pretty hard?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like they're not rolling over and dying, and I don't think they will tonight.
And they've only been mathematically eliminated for one game, and it was the last game against Dallas. And basically what happened was they were still in that game, and then Dallas and Vegas had their game or whoever, and Dallas won. And then that happened during the first period of the Canucks game, and then they were mathematically eliminated. And it was, you could see a switch in all the players. And Quinn Hughes even admitted it. I believe it was Quinn Hughes admitted it, post game that, yeah, they all heard about the score and they were demoralized because that was it. And they'd pushed so hard under Bruce that, they really thought they could get it done. And, you know, like I was telling the office this earlier today, but you know, I believe this is Bruce's second time missing the playoffs in over 1,000 NHL games coached. So, for him to come in when they were in the spot that they were, like hanging out with Seattle Kraken at the bottom of the league, It was pretty crazy to see what Bruce was able to do with the team this year.
Well, I want to ask you about that because the Canucks obviously made their coaching change early in the season. You, as the Oilers were plummeting through December and January, you were texting me. You're like, why? What's going on? Why aren't they making a change? Whereas the Oilers brought in Jay Woodcroft, the exact same effect almost. So what happened with Bruce Boudreau? Like, what was the change from Boudreau over Travis Green that made such a difference?
It's a really interesting question because not to get too into systems and everything, but Travis Green had the Canucks playing a really run and gun style in 2019-20 where it was all offense and very limited defense. Keep in mind they had Chris Tanev at that time. They had Alex Edler. They had a not great defense corps, but they had a pretty okay defense corps, right? Like Tyler Myers is your fourth, fifth guy. That's probably where you want Tyler Myers, right? Going into the next season, not the bubble season, but last year when they had the Canadian division, you know, you saw where the Canucks finished. Like the Canucks were just an absolute tire fire last year. And it was because they started the season with that same system and the new defense couldn't do it. Like they couldn't handle that system. So they basically kept that system for the whole season. And then coming into this year, what changes are made to the defense group? Well, you lose Alex Edler and you bring in Tucker Poolman. Like that's basically all the Canucks did this offseason. You know, obviously Luke Shen is brought in as well, but you re-sign Travis Hamonic. He doesn't show up because he's not vaccinated at training camp. So you don't have Travis Hamonic start the year. Miraculously, they were able to get a third round pick for him. But regardless, Travis Green had a pretty bad defense corps coming into this year. Like aside from Quinn Hughes, you didn't have much. Like you had Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Tyler Myers who were the Canucks shutdown pair and did a pretty good job. But, you know, Tucker Pullman's been a huge disappointment in Vancouver. And I think, you know, as soon as that contract was signed, anybody who's looked at any analytical model said this is going to hurt the Canucks and it hurt them in the first year. You know, he's dealing with, weird concussion like symptoms without having a concussion. So obviously hope all the best for him, but you know, he's got 4 years on that deal. And that was just an awful deal. The moment it was signed, happy for Tucker Pullman, cause he's getting Aquilini's money, which is
great. The bag.
Yeah.
Yep. Secure the bag,
but
bag,
you know, it's not a good decision for the team. So all in all, this is all just to say that with that banged up defense corps and just, you know, the patchwork defense group that they had, the Canucks really dedicated themselves to playing solid 5-on-5 team defense. So forwards are coming back further, you know, really compensating for the defense's lack of ability to play hockey well. And that's kind of what the Canucks have dealt with this season is just, you know, Travis Green was coaching for his job. Remember, he's a lame duck coach and he didn't want to get scored on a bunch. So they were playing this really conservative style. And I think that'll probably be the thing that got Travis Green fired is just not willing to adapt to the new ideas. Like that penalty kill group was just sent out shift after shift, league worst penalty kill. Boudreau gets here and he puts Pedersen on the PK. The results are there.
Right, Tyler, when you say that, it was kind of similar to what happened here.
Yeah. And actually I was going to say, like, an interesting thing is Canucks fire the coach, bang, shoot up the standings. Probably waited too long though, because if they would have done it earlier, might have been a playoff team. Oilers fired their coach. If they do that 3 weeks earlier, are they not pushing for a division title?
Oh, without question.
I wonder, again, we know this is a copycat league. Next season, because there weren't a lot of coaches fired early in the year this year. Are we going to get to like November next year and it's going to be like boom, 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 fired.
Underperforming
well,
teams.
What's also
and they'll just
too,
be like, hey, we know we're getting 10 games where we're going to bounce back here. Let's go. Let's fire the coach.
In terms of the coaching change though, it's interesting also that Vancouver went with a seasoned guy like Bruce Boudreau, whereas the Oilers went with the guy they had on the farm.
Yeah. I mean, even when you go back through like when this has worked for teams, like the St. Louis Blues going with Craig Berube. He was a guy who didn't work as a head coach for a while, right?
Yeah.
When the Pittsburgh Penguins went with Mike Sullivan and Dan Bylsma, right? Like these weren't, you can find examples where it's the experienced guy who comes in and kicks down the door and straightens a team out. You can find examples where it's a young guy or a guy who hasn't been around for a while who comes in, kicks down the door and just brings a fresh perspective, right? Which has been what Woodcroft has done. And I think Boudreau as well, even though he's an not an older school head coach, but he came in and it was like a breath of fresh air, right? Like everyone had a grand piano taken off their shoulders.
Yeah. And I also want to specify in the case of the Canucks, like it had a lot more to do with just Travis Green. Like it was also the management group. Like, you know, I'm not trying to speak for any players here, but JT Miller said on the record that the Canucks moves after the bubble, when they lost to Foley, Markstrom, Tanev, Stetcher, all of those in one off season, he called it shocking. He's like, I don't want to take a step back and,
yeah,
you know, I don't want to go into a rebuild. And, you know, Horvat said the same sort of thing. Like, you know, again, not trying to speak for any players, but there is a very good, you know, good chance that a lot of those players were feeling disgruntled with the management group and were just like, what are we here for? Right? Like JC Miller wants to win. Elias Pettersson, he wants to start winning games. And, you know, this management group wasn't putting together a team that could win games. And I think that's something that's a little understated when people talk about Boudreau coming in is also they got rid of that management group. And, you know, Stan Smeal came down to the locker room the next day. And, you know, that's a guy who's, you know, embodies what it means to be a Canuck. And he says, he's like, enough finger pointing. Like, you know, coach was pointing at management. He didn't say that specifically, but he said there was a lot of finger pointing here and we can't have that. And, you know, players are pointing at players and coaches and management as well. And he just said everybody needs to start being accountable for themselves. There's the joke that he was the most successful GM in Canucks history because he was interim GM for four days, and those were four games that the Canucks won. So most successful GM in history.
Turning to tonight's game, Quads, first time for you at Rogers Place. No McDavid, no Draisaitl for the Oilers. A little bummed out for you, or do you understand?
I'm just there to see Artur Seelov sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And that is the Canucks backup.
20-year-old.
He's 20 years old. I've been singing his praises since they took him in like the seventh round in 2019. I really do think he's going to be a really good
goaltender. You should go sit by the glass tonight with a sign.
Bang on the glass.
Yeah.
Really, he got married at 18. Artur Seelov.
That's an excellent decision. I'm sure he won't regret.
Yeah, no kidding.
Rick.
Before good we let you Lord. Go, Quads, anything else that you're excited about? What are you doing in Edmonton, by the way? Why are you here?
How was the mall?
Yeah.
The mall was great. Got a hat for cheaper, which That's was very fantastic.
Did you see the seals?
No, I knew they were there, and I was pointing it out to my girlfriend. I said, I saw a seal here last time, and there are California seals in there.
You know, sometimes they have penguins, and they just take them for walks around the mall. So you'll shopping, and there'll be like a penguin going for a walk.
I have to like see everybody's facial expression when you guys tell me this stuff, because I've been told that
they used to have flamingos too.
They did have flamingos.
Yeah.
They also had tiger cubs for a little while.
They had dolphins for a little bit.
They used to have a really, really good aquarium up by the Tim Hortons. On the
they still have it, the sea caverns.
They had really cool, little like fish tanks.
Up by the Ice Palace where the Tim Hortons is, they had this huge
I remember
the huge aquarium, like a reef, aquarium. Look at them, different size, just amazing.
It was lovely, peaceful.
There's a sloth exhibit right now.
Yeah,
I found that.
That's fun.
When they were trying to recruit Danny Heatley here, they sent him a DVD entailing what the mall had.
I would love to see that
DVD. I would like how the fact that we haven't seen that DVD all these years later is absolutely. It's just upsetting. It's shocking. It
would be so upsetting. It'd be so funny.
See, you guys need someone like Jason Botchford in your market, because Jason Botchford, for those, Oilers listeners that don't know, fantastic reporter in Vancouver, really well respected by everybody. He found the video that the Canucks allegedly showed Nikita Triamkin when he was like 21. And they were like, we need you to play like this. And it was like a Chris Pronger hype video. And they were like, we need you to be this guy. And that just wasn't Triamkin's game at all. And they showed it to him when he was like 20 and didn't know English. And it's like, do this. And it was just Chris Pronger hype. That's
so good. So it's not just that. It's not just the Oilers organization. That's good to hear.
Rick said, so it's not just the Oilers
organization. Absolutely.
All right, Quad, score prediction from you tonight before we let you go.
I think it's going to be 5-4 Oilers in regulation. Pedersen and Hughes both hit 70 points on the season. Mm-hmm. And I think Miller hits his 100th.
Oh, that's a very specific.
Bet the over, and if it doesn't hit, Quads will pay you back your bet.
Yep. Actually, Spencer Martin's been really good. Fantastic.
I don't know how the Oilers are going to score 5 goals without McDavid and Draisaitl on the lineup.
Like, they scored 5 yesterday, and neither of McDavid or Draisaitl scored.
What about Devin Score?
Yeah, but there was still.
Yeah, Devin Score is
playing. Right?
Yeah, but Devin Score is here.
Devin Score? Is Kyle Turris going to be playing?
I hope so.
Hasn't played in like 8 months.
They're going to lower him from the rafters like Sting in the WCW.
Like when the Sharks did that with their mask on, he got stuck.
Yeah.
the duck lit on fire once, I think.
Jumping through a hoop.
The duck lit on fire once.
Jumping through a hoop.
All right, Quads, I know you got a bunch of stuff to do. Thanks for jumping in. Unless you want to hang out, it's up to you.
I got to run.
All right.
I'm hungry now.
David Quadrelli going for lunch. Where are you going for lunch first?
Upstairs to my suite. I'm making craft dinner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Man on a budget. I respect it.
Good Italian meal.
Yeah, exactly. Put a little Italiano seasoning on it.
Is it the Cheetos kind at least?
Cheese-based seasonings that I get from the States.
Yes, yes.
If you want more on that story, Real Life Yesterday. Real Life Yesterday was a doozy. If you haven't listened to a Real Life podcast, listen to that one.
It was a weird one. There goes David Quadrelli.
Yep.
Wearing, I like your sweatpants too. Got a pair of Pumas on.
You should cut in My Hero by the Foo Fighters. You were just singing it. Oh my God.
That's cool.
Me and Dan are connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're kids. Bye, Quads. Thanks for everything, Quads. Buddy. Bye.
There goes David Quadrelli. And that's how I tell you about our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. Cornerstone Insurance, for 90 years and 4 generations, they have been a locally owned and operated insurance provider here in Edmonton. What's going on with Tyler over there?
Tyler's trying to get himself in the frame without being in the frame right now.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we're adjusting the cameras.
Scary, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Still real life, too.
All right, so I'm still going to That's the Real Life Podcast. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee owned business here in Edmonton with all the insurance products you could ever hope to need. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, whatever you need. Cornerstoneins.ca is your spot for it. Kumi, look, you got something to say.
I'm just like fidgeting around. You know me.
It's been a while since you've been on this podcast.
Yeah, I was on. Well, I was here in December. Yeah. I came on. I did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Too long, Coombs.
It's been a while. Yeah. I do enjoy doing the podcast. It brings me back, but I wish Chris the intern was here.
RIP. We tried to call him on a podcast once. He didn't answer.
If I could trade Tyler for Chris, I would do that.
Would you?
One for one.
And if I could trade you for Chris, I would too.
Yeah. Would you bring back the Minutemen?
I would continue doing the Minutemen. Yeah. That was we had a lot of fun doing that. We went to a lot of really wacky places.
There was what is going on with you?
It's pointless. I'm not shooting it on video today.
Wait, are you not recording the video right now?
Zoom in on Coom and I.
But I'm not going to use it.
Coom in on Zoom and I.
Coom's going tarps off if the camera's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going full comfort zone.
The interesting thing about Coomsy is, like I said earlier, we're going to the game tonight. You flew in from Toronto essentially just for tonight, really.
Yeah, I wanted to come to the party. I got a round trip flight on Air Canada for $210.
Will you be going to Wendy's while you're here, though?
Yeah, I got to go to Wendy's because there isn't one there.
Yeah.
So when I'm back out east, I can't enjoy Wendy's. I can't get the menu items that I like a junior bacon cheeseburger, because they don't have them there.
Yeah.
Buddy, they start breakfast on Monday.
Do they?
Yeah, I got a coupon in the mail.
Wendy's breakfast.
That'd be good.
So you can go right now. They're starting it on Monday, but they're doing a soft opening right now.
Soft launch.
I saw the menu yesterday, actually.
What do they got?
There's a croissant.
Baconator egg sandwich of some
with
sort.
A croissant. Ooh, on a croissant? That's very nice.
Imagine just getting a sausage one too.
A baconator, and they just throw a fried egg in there as well.
I think that's yes, great.
That'd be really good.
That'd be great.
I'd be all over that.
Having a breakfast on your
bunk. And they've been throwing part of their social media campaign has just been slandering Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Tim Hortons?
Really? Tim Hortons? Stick to coffee, Tim. Better yet, try ours.
Oh, man.
Their ads are very aggressive. There's billboards around town with a empty biscuit on it. Just being watch May 2nd.
They also tweeted at Elon Musk, "Let me tweet from space, please." The Wendy's account.
The Wendy's account is in one. That's what we're learning. Yeah.
I like this.
Anyway, I want to talk about tonight's event. Going to the game. I haven't been to Rogers Place for an Oilers game in 2.5 years. I'm very excited.
Will you cry when you take the first sip of beer up in wherever we're sitting?
Absolutely.
I'm going to cry when I process my payment for my first beer at the game.
Yes, that's when I will cry also.
Well, it's payment one of many. You have to do it in installments.
Yeah. So cheaper
than Nashville.
Cheaper than Nashville.
When I will cry is when I look at my credit card tomorrow. Mm. That's when I'll cry.
That's why you just got to drink before you get there and then use the game to kind of reset.
So we're going out for dinner as a team.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
That'll be delicious. Looking
forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to party with Rick after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
It's going to be a long night. Tyler, you said you weren't drinking tonight and I call you a liar.
Why?
I don't know.
He said that every time he says
that. He said that in Calgary though, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He said it in Calgary. He said it when we were in Jasper.
I heard it in Nashville.
So he's lying to us.
When was the last time you got drunk with me? It was the season opening party in 2019.
We sucked back a few brewskis at the Jays game last summer.
We didn't get lit up though.
No, we didn't get litty.
We were pretty
chill. It was the day game. It was the season opener day game back here.
It was 2018-19 season.
Yeah, they were against New Jersey or whatever.
Yeah, when they were playing in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Luch scored. Or he almost scored.
He scored the first game and he didn't score for 55 games.
Remember when we did the Milan Lucic goal draft?
I do.
I thought about that the other day.
And none of you guys have bought your t-shirts yet. You're all supposed to buy a Coom fan t-shirt.
That is such an OG listener of this podcast thing. That is a small group of our listeners right now will understand that bit.
That's Surveyor Brett will know what we're talking about, guys.
We can actually print our own now. There is no reason not to do this.
There's none. It doesn't have to be a jersey. Just have a shirt that says Coom fan on the front.
I would rather get a jersey.
No, get one with my face on it and then
I would wear that.
Maybe text kind of ringed around it. Coom fan.
I think I would rather get that on a hoodie. So then I can wear it year round.
But you have to make sure, I think we talked about this last time, you have to make sure to use 3 O's and not 2 because of Coomer.
Oh, right. We learned what that is.
Yeah.
That is a, yep.
That's a problem for me.
Yep. You can look that up on your own time if you don't know what that is or don't.
I believe that was on one of our podcasts. We kind of went over this.
Yeah, I think we did.
We talked about this in December. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't listen to that episode, go find it. Otherwise, it is
Google it.
Yep. So no McDavid, no Drysdale tonight, no Smith. Any surprises from anybody on that?
I'm surprised they're not playing Broberg.
Oh yeah, a little bit. Broberg, first NHL goal last night. Shout out to him.
Yeah. And like, if you want to get him acclimated and get him up to speed at the NHL level, go 11-7 again and play Broberg. Like, he's up here for a reason. Or even if you don't want to go 11-7, sit Duncan Keith for a game. Rest the guy. He's old. Give him a game off.
Rest with you. Give him a game
up for a minute.
Yeah. A nice glass of sangria. No, I think this Friday night. Come on.
I think it's good. Like, you sat your two big guns. So McDavid and Drysdale are going to be healthy for game one. Nurse should be healthy for game one. The lines right now, as they're listed, it's the Nuge line, the McLeod line, the Ryan line, then the Brassard line. I would play the Brassard line as my top line. They're getting 20 plus tonight. No doubt. Derek Ryan's line is getting close to that. McLeod's line, 15. Nuge line, 10.
You're playing Nuge line that little, hey?
Yeah, they're barely touching the ice.
You don't think they're good players, or what's the issue here?
Yeah, I don't see how they're going to contribute come playoff time, so I sit them.
Well, it will be interesting because these last games of the year against a team that has nothing to play for, you never know what to expect from, because guys on Canucks, they're all playing for jobs.
Wait. Hold on. The fourth line right now is Devin Shore, Derek Brassard, and Chris Russell.
Yeah, okay. So I read on Twitter that Broberg wasn't going to play today.
Playing forward.
That's sick.
Well, no.
I'd love to see that.
Russell was going to be back on D and Broberg was going to sit. But who are they going to play at forward then if it's...
Archibald.
Has to be Archibald,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I kind of forgot about him.
He's allowed to play.
He's played seven games this year. That's why you've forgotten about him.
Mike Smith has as many points as him, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You could almost argue as many scoring chances as well, actually.
Yeah. Because Mike Smith...
3-1 game.
Yeah.
Man, I was pulling for Mike Smith to get a goal.
The hell did this Smith come from? Who pulls a goalie with a power play and then some point in that same power play puts him back in the net?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then also the one where... Sorry,
he was off by 4 inches, though.
And the guys weren't... And the announcers weren't in the building, so they couldn't tell us he wasn't in the net. That thing was going directly between the posts.
Dead center.
I got excited. I thought we were having a goal. And then DeSmith appears out of nowhere.
And then the one he almost missed, Smith thought that was going in because he was up by the bench for some reason.
He was ready to sell. He was going to do the flyby. He was excited about it.
Was he doing the flyby or the jump in? He was doing one of the two.
Either way, I didn't care. I wanted to see it.
I thought he was going
to
do the stick over his head slide.
That would have been good. Or that maybe even the, what was his name? The Tiger Williams just fade through the legs and slide on it. That would have been fun. Anyway, Mike Smith, he's playing good hockey, despite what David Quadrelli says.
Yeah, quads.
Quads is no.
What a nerd.
He's a baby.
They have a good goalie in Vancouver. How's that working out for you, Quads?
Yeah.
They have a handful of them.
Oh, fuck. I had meant to ask Quads a question. I've been wondering this.
Ask him right now.
Mm-hmm. How many times have the Vancouver Canucks won the Stanley Cup?
Ooh.
Run upstairs. Jump on the elevator and go ask him.
Just bang on his door.
Room on the floor.
He's completely naked, making his Kraft dinner.
Oh yeah, he's up making Kraft
making
dinner.
His.
I like that we like, are on top
the
of
Cheetos guy though. Was it the Cheetos
or even just like a three like cheese a with the shells?
You can get cotton candy flavored Kraft dinner now.
Get the fuck out of here! I don't know.
Come on, there's a shake-in. I'll bring it to the office.
I don't
the
want
next day.
Please don't.
I bought it just to have it.
You keep that shit to yourself.
I eat a good amount of Kraft dinner myself, and whenever I go, you know, a couple boxes of the original, then I'll always get like a three cheese or shells.
When you're buying
it. I'll always get a special one thing and like, oh, it'll be a nice treat. But then when it comes time to cook it, I'm always like, nah, man, I just want the OG. And the treat ones just sit there collecting.
I'm a big fan of the three cheese shell ones. Delightful.
Doesn't go as well with ketchup though. So
I don't really,
what's our portion size there, guys?
Full box.
What's the portion size?
Full box.
I never do two boxes. Check. That's a bit much.
I can't do two boxes.
I put a lot.
No, that would have to be like leftovers.
My old roommate used to do two boxes. He was just a madman though.
So, at Costco though, when you buy the big box at Costco, each box is 1.5.
Wow.
So that's the perfect 1.5 size. Fine.
I wouldn't do two.
No, that's excessive.
Actually, another thought that I had is, you know, sometimes you go to Subway and 12 inches is a bit much. 6 inch is not going to fill you up. It'd be nice if they had a 9-inch sub.
That would be nice.
That's like Quiznos. A box and a half of, cause Quiznos have a 9-inch sub.
Quiznos.
Yeah, they used to have.
But I always screw myself over because I go there, I get the Italian on the 12. And then I always sample something on a 9. Now I'm eating fucking 15 inches of goddamn bread.
Wait, you get a 12 and a 9? That's 21.
Yes.
That's good 21. Point.
That's your math is better than mine. Yes.
That's too much sub.
Did you know?
That's a lot of bread, Rick.
Is this when we should tell people that we're going to do this twice a week now?
Oh yeah. By the way, next week for the playoffs, Tyler, right? We're going two episodes a week.
ON Radio Tuesdays and Fridays starting next
now,
week.
If
that
you
first have, one's going to be the hangover episode. That's be good.
Yeah. If you listen to this podcast for any length of time, you know that we launched this also last year. So we're hoping for a better
and the bubble too,
a better run this time around.
Did you know Quiznos are rapidly disappearing?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, there was two in my, like, near me that just...
So, at its peak, there was something like 8,000 of them around North America. Now, that number's, like, less than 1,000.
I guess toasted doesn't taste better.
Are they an endangered species?
There's, like, a documentary or something like that on it.
There was... I read a 13-tweet thread about how Quiznos failed, and it's really messed up. That's what it was. It's really... How'd they fail? So basically the guys who started it also started their own like food distribution company and then required or demanded that every franchisee only uses that food distribution company, and they gouged them. I'll get the numbers wrong, but it was something like the Quiznos owners made like $70 million off their franchisees and then like $220 million off of charging them through the food distribution company. And then eventually a bunch of locations sued and won, and it's been a downfall ever since.
Speaking of that, there's an interesting thing if anyone's interested in, there's a whole suing going on in regards to McDonald's ice cream machines never working. It's a really
interesting story. It's actually a legit thing.
It's a really interesting
story. Are they saying
it's like a YouTube documentary about it?
Are they saying that they just about it? Is that how I saw it?
Maybe, yeah.
They intentionally don't fix
it. No, it's what it is it's the company, like they made a deal with a company that makes these milkshake machines, and they can only use these milkshake machines. And there's only repair people that are bonded to fix these milkshake machines, but they're all dying off. And so like, it's
like
hard
Montreal
to get
Canadians fans.
Who's killing them?
It's hard to get machines. Well, it's unfixable too. Like the normal guy cannot look at that and fix it.
The codes that you get are like obscure, and it's like EH Batman symbol. What does this look like?
To have the unfixable ice cream machines. Like, whose idea was this?
Who signed that contract?
Yeah, who's just like, this is a good idea?
And I think it's one of those things where like McDonald's isn't that upset about it because it makes you go to other McDonald's and it makes you just like,
or it's probably just like a low margin item and they don't really give a shit about it.
That doesn't matter. So it's all good to them, but there is a website you can look up now that tells you if your McDonald's machine works.
Now the people that have purchased McDonald's franchise because it's written this contract and they got to pay all this money to get their machine fixed by this company, there's a third party thing that's come out that knows how to fix these machines. And McDonald's franchises are hiring this company that comes in and fixes them. And you put it on, like you put this different machine on the ice cream thing so that you can figure it out.
This makes about as much sense as you going to McDonald's to buy an ice cream and they send somebody to Dairy Queen and bring it back to you.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That'd be delicious. Good ice cream too.
That's great.
Yeah. Know what else is great? The food from our friends at Buster's Pizza. Busterspizza.ca, whether you're looking for a pizza, whether you're looking for a doner, I guarantee you they have got a location near you. Rick always talks about the pasta. Maybe you want some pasta. Maybe
lasagna.
You want a little lasagna. Maybe you want this $13.99 large two topper deal they got up on the website right now. Whatever you want, they got it for you. Busterspizza.ca. Coombsy, I don't know if you've ever played Ask the Idiots with us.
Yeah, I did. No, this was a thing that, before I left that we were doing this.
No, this is relatively new.
It's pretty new.
No, I just made that up.
So anyway, the way this works, we have listener submitted questions. The boys haven't heard them yet. You just give your first take. So I got four questions here. I apologize to all of you that submitted questions that I couldn't find in my
DMs. Two episodes a week going forward though.
Yeah. So we're going to have a lot of opportunity for Ask the Idiots questions here going forward. So I'm going to start with Coombsy. He is our special guest today.
Oh.
Question number one. There's been more talk recently about expanding the playoffs, essentially having the 7th and 8th seeds playing the 9th and 10th seeds in some kind of play-in tournament to determine the final 16. Do you like it or are you against it?
I'm kind of, I can see both sides of that. I mean, it makes sense for like in the NBA, they like doing that because they have these lower teams playing for something. So you have young guys on the New Orleans Pelicans and they're like, oh, I get to play in an important game. And that's fun. And single game elimination is always a blast. Everyone loves March Madness, but I think if anything, there should be fewer playoff teams. Just the playoffs are already pretty watered down. Like there's some pretty bad teams in the playoffs. I don't think that's really necessarily the case this year, but in the past, like remember, think about the bubble, like Blackhawks shouldn't have been in the bubble. That was stupid. They did beat the Oilers, but that was dumb. Like the Habs, same thing. They also beat the Penguins. So I'm not really making too much sense here. But I don't like having shitty teams in the playoffs. Like I think the NFL had it perfectly when they had what, like 12 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to have some shitty teams in the playoffs, but I think that you have to just draw a line at some point, right? Like, I like having a team get dumped on by the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I also like seeing that team beat the Tampa Bay
Blue Jackets. Like when the Blue Jackets beat the Lightning.
That was
cool.
So that's, to me, that's exciting. That's why I think you just leave it. Leave wild card fun to other sports. Like, sure. Hockey doesn't need to be like the NFL and baseball to me.
Tyler, you want to play in tournament?
No, I don't. I think 16 of 32 is honestly the perfect number. Any more than that, I think you're letting in too many bad teams. Any less than that, and I think you're giving up on revenue that's just there for the taking. When you look at things like the NFL, you could argue this. The NBA, you can definitely argue this. The first round's not that exciting in those sports, right? Like NBA specifically, I should say. Yeah. It's just not. A lot of the times, it's just the good team steamrolling the bad team. So this was a way for them to create some intrigue into their playoff push, because you had teams trying to play to avoid the play-in, teams trying to squeak into the play-in, teams trying to get the better seed for the play-in. It was intriguing. For hockey, the first round of your playoffs is so good that you don't need to add this.
Yeah. Rick, play-in tournament?
No, get off my lawn. I'm an old man. I don't like the change. No, it's not necessary. keep it the way it is.
I'm with all of you. The play-in tournament is fun, I guess, but like,
all of a sudden it just smelled like cologne in here.
Really?
Anybody get a whiff of cologne from outside?
Nope.
Oh.
Dan's got a better sniffer than the rest of us, I suppose.
Dan's having a stroke.
That could be that too. It's not burnt toast.
This is a painful.
That is my cologne brand.
This is a painful question, and that's why I'm starting with Rick.
Yep.
God forbid the Oilers don't win the cup this year. Who is your second choice to win it?
There isn't a second choice. Sorry.
Tyler?
I'm thinking of the Eastern Conference. Might be kind of neat to see how Florida reacts to it, and if that allows them to build any sort of like a sustained fan base going forward.
Do you bring Kodak Black to the playoff games?
He gets the cup first.
That's what I would do also.
Yeah. Like Barkov lifts it, and then like straight emerging Kodak is Black. It's Kodak Black, and he gets to lift it next.
Yeah. That's good.
I think maybe a team like Florida, they've been so good this year that I feel like that could be rewarded. Giroux winning is like a cool storyline. There's enough players
too.
Yeah. There's enough reasons to be like, Florida winning is like a nice little thing. Obviously you want it to be the Oilers, but if it's not the Oilers, send it out East, give it to a team like Florida.
You're going to get kicked out of the Blue Jackets fan club.
They didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're nowhere close.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
They were in Columbus as my pick, obviously.
A weird choice to make right now, though.
Coomsie, Oilers can't win. Who's your pick?
I would have gone with Florida, but Tyler just said that. I've always had a soft spot for the Panthers. They're pretty fun.
And you just like Florida. You're a Florida guy.
I'm a Florida man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy going to Florida, like enjoy Disney, Epcot. Big Epcot guy, of course. Yes. Sticking in Florida, though, I think it'd be cool to see Tampa three-peat.
Four cups for Maroon.
That would be
Patty Maroon.
That would be cool. Dan?
I'm going to say, and this is a weird one because it would mean that the Oilers got eliminated by them, but I'm going to say the Nashville Predators, because that means that they eliminated the Calgary Flames right off the bat, embarrassed the first place team in the Pacific, and it means they probably went through us to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's my team to pick.
It could also mean that they get flopped, beat the Avs, and then beat the Oilers in the conference finals.
Because Dallas could play Calgary instead.
That is true.
Depending on what happens.
They're still looking at Dallas. So there you go. Nashville Predators. And they overcame a UC Saros injury too. So that'd be
Dave
cool
Rittich takes them all the
Dave
way.
Dave Rittich leaves the Flames and takes them
all the way. I can see Dave Rittich stoning the Flames in the first round. That'd be funny.
I think my pick will be the Vegas Gold. Oh, right. They're not in the playoffs.
Go big guy.
That was a bad button.
That was a bad button.
That was really random.
You know what? I'll go with, I don't know. I don't want anybody to win. I like Rick.
There is no second team. Say that. Yes.
I don't want anybody else to win. In fact, if the Oilers ever get knocked out, I would just rather them cancel the playoffs entirely. But,
just watch baseball instead.
Yeah. Just watch baseball instead. I'll just throw out a team. I'll pick Pittsburgh just cause I like Sid. Why not? He's getting older. He's no longer a kid.
Kind of Last Dance vibes with
them. Yeah. Why not? Him and Malkin getting another one together, I guess. Who gives a shit?
What is he, 34?
He's 36 now, right?
Yeah, I think he's...
Is he 36?
Tom Brady.
Because Ovechkin's 37, isn't he? Sidney Crosby's 45.
Sidney Crosby turns 35 in August.
Okay.
I like how it's Last Dance at 34.
Yep. Well, I'm just saying he's no longer Sid the Kid anymore.
Yeah, how old was MJ when it was Last Dance time? Because then he went and played baseball, right?
He was 42. He came back and played basketball after baseball.
When you become the greatest at two sports, though.
Yeah. The greatest at baseball, which is exactly what he was.
Everybody remembers it like that, right? Yep.
Did everybody give their answer? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Michael Jordan, when
you said the Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, last dance was 34.
Yeah, he's 34 when they did the last dance.
Mm. Thanks, Doc.
Tyler, I'm starting with you. Question number three, ask the idiots for Buster's Pizza. Since a lot of you guys are big Jays fans, which Blue Jay would make the best Oiler and which Oiler would make the best Blue Jay?
Oh, I know. This is an easy one for me. You know,
so
who Oilers fans would fucking love is Alek Manoah.
Oh yeah.
Throw him on the blue line. He just dummies guys.
Yeah. He's That'd a big man. Sick.
That was my answer too. Yeah. Manoah on the blue line or Manoah as like a power forward would be the perfect hybrid.
I'm going to go Matt Chapman because of the defense. Mm-hmm. Chris Russell. Yeah. If Chris Russell is going to he's going to retire because he's getting older or stop playing, we need a guy to block shots. And I feel like Matt Chapman is our guy.
Chris Russell would be a good Jay too. He's like a Reed Johnson type, just leans in and gets hit by pitches.
Yeah.
Has a high on base percentage.
I don't hate that answer. I would maybe say for an Oiler, that would be a good J. Maybe you give it to someone like a Kyler Yamamoto. I think he could play a little second base, be a good like leadoff guy, speedy, stealing.
Like quick. A Devin Travis?
Yeah, something like that.
I was going to say for an Oiler to be a Blue Jay, I was going to say Daryl because he's a big guy. I feel like he would hit bombs.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I could see Mike Smith standing on the mound, just staring down people.
The Randy Johnson style.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, who you got?
My player from the Blue Jays, I will say the easy one, Vladdy on our power play. Just set him up in Leon's spot and smash dingers into the net.
And which Oiler is going to the Jays?
I would say Mike Smith on the mound. Yeah, reliever Mike Smith, like a closer of Mike Smith. He would just be so angry all the time. And he'd be mad at his infielders when they made mistakes.
He'd be really sweaty too.
Yeah.
Like Jason Grilley was.
Literally Jason Grilley.
Rick, which Oiler is a Jay and which Jay is an Oiler?
Yeah, I like the Vladdy because I think he could be our Bufflin.
Yeah.
Grab two guys at the corner. So I'm a big fan of that one. And if we're gonna send someone over there, buddy, it's Connor. He does everything well.
That's fair.
He did whack
Connor ever do the thing where they bring prospects to a MLB park? Did they ever do that?
Dinger, I thought. Didn't he hit a dinger at batting practice?
They were down in Florida, right? And they were swinging, yeah.
You hit a dinger.
Got to get him to the Edmonton ballpark, and then we have to see if he can throw a ball over the river.
Would you trade West Edmonton Mall for the Blue Jays?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I don't even go to West Ed.
What city could hold an MLB team better? Edmonton or Vancouver?
Vancouver.
Unfortunately, Vancouver. Yeah, it's just
probably
it's just the population, and our winter goes a little bit longer.
Fair enough.
Tyler, I'm starting with you on this one.
Yep.
With sports betting becoming more and more popular and the NHL embracing it, do you think there will be changes to how they handle injury announcements? In the NFL, as an example, you know if a player stubbed their toe. In the NHL, they are so vague about everything, but as a gambler, how do you make bets not knowing when a player is playing or will be out?
I will say this. In the NFL, there are still situations where guys a game time decision up until warmups, right? And you don't know. And the other thing with the NFL is sometimes a guy plays and he's on the roster and he plays like 8 snaps and then you're pissed because your DraftKings is ruined. So like, right, Rick knows. My take on it is yes, there should be more injury clarity, but there just won't be. We're not getting that. And as a bettor, you got to deal with it. And there will be moments when you will find value because you're like, hey, if this guy doesn't play, this line is great. And there'll be times where you sit there and you bet and someone gets hurt and they don't play and you'll be like, well, I'm screwed. Like, it'll happen.
I disagree. I think that the gambling entity will force the NHL to do more injury reporting. But I think what you're going to see is you're going to see bottom six and you're going to see fringe guys like you were talking about with the NFL, where like guys that mean nothing, you're going to get like in-depth report about what they're dealing with. McDavid gets hurt and it's still going to be vague as all hell.
But the other side of this though is I get the side of like, oh yeah, the gambling partners aren't going to stand for this, blah, blah, blah. But that usually just results in the house winning.
Yes.
Right. Like, I mean, it goes both ways.
But to me, it's like the appearance of impropriety, right? Yeah. You give the league, you say the league, you make a statement by the league, just like they do with their rules all the time, right? We're going to call the rules more now. And then they don't. It's just the same kind of thing. I think that they'll slap some wrists for not reporting the injuries. And then we'll start to see a little bit more in-depth Devin Shore injuries.
Coombsy, I know you're not a gambler, but like, do you think that having gambling money kind of pushing that NHL teams will be forced to be more specific with injuries?
I can see the league pushing teams to do that, but I know the NHL is such a dinosaur league and hockey guys don't like change, right?
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if teams just maintained, even if they were put on pressure from the league, like an old coach like Barry Trotz. You're not going to be like, hey man, like points bet, or someone is demanding that you let us know who the fucking goalie is going to be the night before the game. It's just not going to happen.
Shout out to Points Canada, who we love very much. And if they demanded anything from us in terms of starting goalies, we'd make it
happen. Yeah, I'll say the lines for points bet, but I don't know if Barry Trotz would do that.
You don't think Tortorella is going to respond well to that?
Hey, Torts, we need to know who you're playing. He's got fire.
Or Sutter down in Calgary?
Yeah.
It wouldn't go well.
Daryl Sutter would pretend he doesn't understand what gambling means.
In baseball or in NFL, Tyler, like when they get caught in a lie, which I mean, obviously doesn't happen very much with an injury, but what happens to them? Like what if it, yeah.
There's
like
a fine.
Yeah, it's, to me, it's like, well, what is the punishment going to be even if they did
come? There's a fine. But even them, they give you like three different versions.
Right.
One is 25% chance of playing, one's 50, one's 75. You know, it's all different like that. The NHL takes steps to get better just because they can't get any worse.
Yeah.
But it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to make everybody happy.
Last question. Ask the idiots. Ooh, I like this one. Rick, I'm going to start with you. Which series would you feel safest betting money on, but you're shooting for an upset? I know some of the series aren't locked.
Series.
I'm jumping in Nashville over Calgary. Kick Rocks Calgary. Even without Soros. If that's how it goes. Could be Dallas.
What do we consider an upset? Is it 3-2 an upset? Like,
just to keep it vague, lower seeded
favorite versus an under.
There's a very obvious one here. It's either Boston or Tampa against the Leafs, right?
Yeah. The Leafs are exactly.
That's the easy answer.
Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at Coombsy's screen here to steal anybody else in that other division. I guess like I wouldn't mind seeing, I don't know, like a Minnesota beat. They're not the unseed. Yeah. I guess that's
Pittsburgh beating the Rangers wouldn't be that shocking, I don't think.
But yeah, I think the obvious two are anybody that plays Calgary and anybody that plays.
I also wouldn't be shocked to see Florida lose in the first round because their goaltending's so random.
But Bobrovsky's been good kind of all year, right? And their offense is so good. The team that I wouldn't be surprised by is Carolina. Carolina losing round one wouldn't stun me at all. I just think they. Their goaltending's up. They're either playing Boston or Tampa. Boston, Tampa.
Yeah, that's tough.
They're overrated.
Yeah, they are.
All right, boys. There you go. Ask the idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Now we just need to pick a winner of who gets that there GC. So your options are play in tournament, question one. Who's your second choice at a cup winner? The Jays question. Should the NHL be more specific with injuries because of betting? Which underdog would you bet on? I'm going to vote for the Jays.
I'll vote Jays too then.
We're saying second best team. But Rick, do you want to go with... What do you want to do?
Rick,
where are you voting?
Oh, I still get a vote. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go Jays.
I'll go the Jays, too. That was a fun question.
Jays are the winner. Woo! So that one goes
to that guy.
West Coast Oil fan. Shout out to you. I'll reach out to you post-podcast. One thing before we get to hot and cold performers that I wanted to bring up is yesterday, Ryan Rashog asked Derek Ryan a question, and I thought the answer was very interesting. The question from Rashog, how would you assess your team's identity to identify or fix problems in your game as they pop up along the way? Now, just give me a second here. This is what Derek Ryan said.
I might be able to play it, actually.
Oh, do you got it? Well, let's see if the Roadcaster works.
Come on, Roadcaster. And play.
And if you are going to play that, I'm going to demand.
Derek, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Ooh,
good.
We got it. It's 8-minute mark, right?
Yep, right at the 8-minute mark.
Okay, right, 8-minute mark. Here is Derek.
So as
Tyler's I thought it was a cool experience.
Just one for me, Derek. How would you assess your team's ability to identify and fix problems in your game as they pop up along the way here?
Well, I think that's Woody's job, and Woody's been really good at that. I think that we were searching for that earlier in the year where things weren't going our way. And, you know, it just felt like we were being told to work harder or just be better. And we were searching for more answers. And I think Woody's done a good job of bringing those answers in, saying, hey, this part of your whatever, your forecheck or your neutral zone, your face-off detail, all those things are important. And these are things that you can do to get better in those areas. And I think playoffs, specifically to your question there, is about adapting, being able to change when the other team changes. And I think Jay will be really good at that because he's shown it so far during his time here.
Little bit of a shot fired at old Tip.
A little.
What do you think of that, Tyler?
That's very telling, because if a guy is willing to say something like that publicly, I just think, what's he holding back? Because you know he's not just letting her go in front of the media.
And that's one of the, I think that's the second or third time Derek Ryan has kind of said something along those lines.
We were being told to work harder and be better was kind of the quote there.
Is that not good coaching?
Doesn't sound like Derek Ryan thinks so.
Well, I was just going to say, to me, that's like,
not a coach. That's not how you coach. You can't coach by saying stupid things like that. That's not a coach.
I mean, it's just a different type of coach, right? It's a different style of coach. And I think it's a style of coach that's going away. And I think that we are replacing them with the Woodcrofts of the world. And so for me, it's just, you know, that just doesn't surprise me, I guess. Like, I'm not shocked. Is anybody shocked hearing that from Derek Ryan?
Even just watching Jay Woodcroft operate behind the bench, just how he communicates with the players. He's always up and down. He's always in somebody's ear. He's always talking to them. And then the positivity post games, come on.
He's got more of a management style that I think caters to the younger generation of players. Like, everyone jokes like, oh, millennials and zoomers are so soft. But like, as a generation, like we want that kind of feedback more rather than just being shouted at. Like, I don't think the young guys coming into the league who were born in 2002, you can just scream at and get things out of them. I think you have to explain things. You're like, here's how you can get better. Here's tangibly what you should be doing. And that those are the coaches that you're bringing in. Those are the teams that are having success now.
You can't sit there and act like the boss and be like, I'm telling you to do this, so do this, or like work harder. You need to put yourself on the level of, and this is just me reading into how these new age kind of coaches work. We are equal and we're working towards a common goal kind of thing. And I get that vibe from Woodcroft.
Even if it's not equal, you're teaching, you're coaching, you're working with them and you're explaining why you're doing something. And this is how to do it and why we're going to do it this way. It's so old school. But I mean, every generation goes through this, where the generation before them learned in a more blunt, tougher way, whatever you want to say,
more military.
And then you try and like evolve. Mm-hmm. And then the next era does and tries to evolve. And right now we're in a movement of evolving. And if you're not on board with it, you're going to be out of the sports world very quickly. We've seen it in a lot of different games right now.
But like, Rick, when you heard that, you're a more old school guy. You just admitted it yourself. Like, when I'm hearing that, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, Derek, you should know what to do though. And when Dave Tippett tells you to be better, and you're saying that Woodcroft tells me that I need to be better on faceoff dot and I need to work harder at this,
did he say just be better and leave it at that?
Well, yeah.
If he says you got to be better here and there, but there's a little bit of in the gray area then. But if he just said you got to go out there and be better, well, now you're coaching the way some of the media guys write, and we don't like the way they write. You can't coach the same way. You have to sit there. You got to break it down a little bit for everybody a little bit more now.
But
and that's the way it is. It's just the way the world is now.
Yeah. And you're right. And I think it's just, like I said, it's my old school brain saying, yeah, no, Derek Ryan, you knew what to do. You knew the right thing to do to go out and get to play better for yourself.
But there's more to it than that. When you're at the NHL level, the systems are more in depth than just being like, it's more in depth than being like, come on, win your faceoffs, you fuck.
Yeah,
like,
no. And that's exactly it. And that's where Woodcroft comes in now and says, this guy is going around you this way, and here's how we could try and beat that, right? Like that kind of mentality is just different now.
And I keep going back to Woodcroft's positivity, no matter what the situation is, that's got to feel better for the players to not be singled out. I think specifically of when Tippett singled out Mikko earlier in the season, and Miko's response was like, yeah, I don't like that. And it's just like, I get it. He did need to play better. But if you would ask Jay Woodcroft that exact same question in that exact same situation, do you think he's throwing Mikko Koskinen under the bus?
No,
absolutely not.
Well, and I think this also comes back to one other part about this is we've heard it since Tippett left, is that Tippett talked to the star guys and didn't talk to the lower echelon. And to me, Derek Ryan is, I guess, a lower echelon guy. So he's just speaking from that experience as well.
Well, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but earlier after the coaching change, Derek Ryan said something like, we're all in it now. We all know what our job is. We all feel like we're a part of it.
Because they're getting more ice time too. He's rolling lines significantly more. The bottom six feels like they're part of the team now.
And ultimately that's paid off on the ice as well. Cause guys aren't just like a guy like Darnell Nurse as an example. I know he's hurt right now, but like, he's not playing 29 minutes anymore.
McDavid Dreisaitl will be playing 26 minutes some games. And it's like, well, why not?
Cause he would, because he would not give any yeah. opportunity to the youth.
Yeah, because
he wouldn't give Ryan McLeod any playing time.
Now Ryan McLeod's on the kill, and Ryan McLeod's
the GM built this
time.
Team a certain way, and the coach refused to play it the way the GM built it. I know we're not sitting here trying to give the GM an award, but I do believe he deserves at least a little pat on the back or a little golf clap, because what he has built is where we are right now. Without that coaching mistake in the middle, this team could easily be first in our division, first in the conference, even first in the league at this rate.
It's kind of interesting then, because I agree with you that Tippett didn't utilize the roster very well. But it's interesting then that Holland waited so long to make the firing
and hired Tippett in the first place.
So, well, I don't mind the hiring in the first place. That's a different situation way back then. But at this point, going into this season, we knew the coach did not want to sign a long-term contract. He tried to get it done. He's a lame duck coach. He wasn't not all into it. When you won't do something as fun as grow a mustache for the fans and just to kind of give into it, that right away said you weren't like totally into it. Like, I know it sounds fucking weird, but you need to be all into it. If there was some weird thing with Woodcroft, I guarantee he would go ahead and do it, because that's just part of the game. You build your team around that type of stuff. Tippett didn't do that. And I don't know I don't know how you could fire somebody earlier. Like, I've never been in that position before, and I probably won't ever. But yeah, like, it should have been probably, and some guys are going to say 6 weeks before, but I'd say 10 days to 2 weeks to somewhere in there
that,
before.
Like the what was it, 13 losses in 15 games, December, January? Like, you'd think somewhere right around New Year's when they were losing those terrible games, that would have made sense.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah.
And those two wins in that stretch were, what's his name?
Columbus and Seattle.
Oh yeah, Woodcroft was on the bench. It was Gullitzen.
It
was Gully.
I forgot about that because Tippett had COVID, right?
That was a hell of a run for the Oilers. Man, what a season! How would you sum up this season? Just like the start, incredible, 10-0. Then December, January. Oh fuck! Are we going to make the playoffs?
Does that not all seem like 2 seasons ago?
This seems like this season's gone on forever.
Feels like it's been 3 seasons.
Yeah. I remember a moment in early Feb, I think, and I was sitting on the couches out in our office about to do a pregame show with Caroline, and I was explaining to her how miserable our jobs are going to be once they get eliminated and don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm like, Caroline, it's going to suck for a bit. I was like, we're going to have to do pregame shows like after they get eliminated, and like, we're going to have to pretend to be positive and like all this stuff. And I was like, and then we're going to have to like find ways to make content during the playoffs when the Oilers aren't there. And I literally thought they were done. And then they fired Tip, and I was like, maybe a shot. And then the run that ensued was just insane.
I think what we're all saying is thank you, Jay Woodcroft, for saving this season.
Legend.
I wonder, what are you thinking? 3-year extension for him?
Yeah.
10.
He'll get a nice 3-year deal.
Do you think Woody can grow a mustache? Do you think a Woody can grow a playoff beard? Look at him. He looks like he could be 25 or he could be 65 and you would have no idea.
Yeah. Back in 2017, did Todd grow one or did he shave? I can't remember.
I think he just shaved.
Yeah.
Todd was,
Well, that's going to be an interesting angle too. The apprentice versus the student in round one.
That's interesting. I mean, the Oilers have had some decent success recently against the Kings. I don't know.
Three in a row against the Kings with Woodcroft as the coach. 3 wins in a row.
But again, like regular season numbers, as much as we read into them now,
happened last year.
Like Winnipeg. We rolled over Winnipeg in the regular season and then we got rolled over in the playoffs, right? So
everything was stupid close. It's a 4-game sweep and I get it, but every game was so damn close.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a hundred times you
play that series. Never again will you find another series that goes 3 or 4 overtimes the way that one did.
Plus, that was a weird one too because there was no fans, right? So I just think
a damn seltzer can.
Like I'm not gonna take away Tampa's 2 Stanley Cups, but I have a hard time looking at the results of the bubble, especially and last year's playoffs, and be like,
but last year in the States, everywhere,
was a little bit different but in the All Canadian, like,
yeah.
You know, you just look at it.
The boys didn't want to waste any goals on nobody in the stands. They said, okay, we'll sacrifice these two years in the playoffs just so that when we get out and win the cup, we have our fans in the seats. So here we go. This is the year.
Makes sense. Tyler, get your buttons ready.
Okay.
It is time for Hot and Cold Performers. If you want to sponsor Hot and Cold Performers, why don't you send me an email? Bagmilk@OilersNation.com. We got it empty. So it's once again for the second week in a row. It is the Bag Milk Hot and Cold Performers. I'm claiming it. I'm sponsoring it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Mm-hmm. As we do every week, we start off with our veggies. I see Nation Dan here. He's scrolling. He's putting his work in. So I'm going to start with you, sir.
Yes.
Your bag milk cold form of the week.
My bag milk cold form of the week is going to go out to Elon Musk for making Twitter his personal message board And that's all I know about it so far. So Elon Musk, you get my cold performer of the week.
What the hell is going on?
Coombsy, your bag milk cold performer of the week.
We're starting with cold. Okay. I have my hot one ready.
That's too bad. We're doing cold.
Yep.
Now how we do it.
Okay.
Veggies first.
Always take our veggies first.
Oh, geez. What am I? I'm probably going to do two Blue Jays ones. I think the Blue Jays offense has been quite poor recently, and I really hope that they pull it together. It's been about a month now. We're into the season. The timing doesn't really seem to be there. So I hope the Jays snap out of it and start hitting like they can.
Oh, that's cold.
I'll jump in on that also with my bag milk cold performer of the week. I need to stop betting on Bo Bichette to get bases because he is not coming through for me right now. Bo Bichette right now is my cold performer of the week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
Tyler?
My cold performer of the week is Connor McDavid. Connor, you do a lot of good around here. You've been doing some great stuff with Ben Stelter. You just set a career high in points, and that's awesome, man. But you didn't hit over 126 and a half on the season, and you lost me my bet, man. So, Connor McDavid, you get my cold performer of the week for not hitting that.
I'm upset.
Rick, your bag milk cold performer of the week.
It's along the lines of bad officiating, but we're going back to baseball and Angel Hernandez. I don't know who saw his stuff from the other day.
So bad.
It's terrible. And I get it. You're human. There's errors in there. So at one point, if you don't walk away, the MLB has to kick him out because he's making an absolute ass of himself and the league out there. It's absolutely terrible. He's worse than any NHL referee.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
Can you give me some context on this? Because I've heard this name several times over the last 2 weeks.
He's renowned. He's the worst official in baseball. He's missed like the ump tracker thing. Yeah. Something in his career, like 28,000 misses calls in terms of balls and strikes.
His accuracy percentage all time is like below 80, I think.
Like he's awful.
But he had his
and
best.
And he's so emphatic. And he's so emphatic about how good he is.
Yeah.
He had his best ever game in a Jays game like last week. As an MLB umpire, and he was like 98% correct, and that was his best game by far.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
So his strike zone is more of a suggestion, you're saying.
It's just random, too. Like, it's one day it's big, one day it's small. For this team, it's that.
One pitcher.
Yeah, just
one batter. It changes throughout the game. Batter.
It gets smaller throughout the game, usually. It's just chaos.
Well.
But they'll never do robot umps, I don't think, because the umpire's union is very strong.
I'm okay with human error. But there's a certain human error level where you just have to get rid of the guy. And this dude he has to go.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible.
Yep,
I agree.
Well, solve that problem.
Yep.
Now it's time to finish off with the tasty, tasty desserts, which is, of course, the hot performers of the week. I'm going to start off.
Yep.
Bag milk hot performer of the week. I'm going to say me. Why? Because last week on this podcast, I said Connor McDavid is going to finish the season with 123 points. And what did he do? He finished the season with 123 points. I nailed it. Fucking nailed it.
Insider info?
He's a hot guy.
I just figured he had 5 games left to get 10 points. Easy peasy.
You didn't drop him a DM and say, hey, listen, man, I'll send you like a free hoodie if you just, get a couple more points.
Absolutely. I've been DMing Connor McDavid this whole time. We're besties. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he knows I exist. Maybe.
He might.
Maybe.
I'd say yes.
Your bag milk hot performer of the week.
My bag milk hot performer of the week is going to go to a former coworker of ours, actually.
Is it Chris the intern?
One Evan Hugowanik.
Ah,
fuck yeah.
For hooking me up with a Ben Stelter card.
That's cool. That's great. That's awesome.
He found one for me and got it to me at the end of the game. So Evan and I guess Upper Deck for doing that Ben Stelter card. You get my hot performer of the week.
Put some respect on my name.
That whole sequence of Ben going out to get his card from Connor, it's just... That's amazing. Oh, there it is.
I have it. Look at it. And I'm going to have it with me all the time. I took out one of my sleeve protectors and took out a McTavish holding up a Stanley Cup card. And it's now a Ben Stelter card. And I'm going to have it with me the whole time.
That was sweet. That's a cool thing.
That's awesome. I really like everything about this.
They've handled it unbelievably well.
It's been really good. It's
9-0 like, with Ben in the building.
It's like that St. Louis Blues with Layla. It's Leia. Sorry. The little girl that had cancer when they were on their cup run. It's amazing.
Ben Stelter though. 9-0. Our boy, he's doing his work.
We know that 8 o'clock starts are hard for them. I wonder if mom and dad will make exceptions for game one of the playoffs.
I
don't know. Who knows?
I don't think his mom and dad putting him to sleep. I think he's just kind of getting all sleepy himself.
Yeah.
Convince him for a little afternoon nap.
When you've got the whole city behind you, it wipes the guy up.
Get him a coffee.
You know?
Get him into coffee.
Coombsy.
Quick Red Bull?
Yeah, why not?
your bag milk hot form of the week.
Well, I wanted to point out that my Wordle streak is at 111.
It was. He showed me his streak. It is very impressive.
Very good. But my hot performer of the week is the big man, Alek Manoah on the Blue Jays, who is now 4-0 this season through four starts, 25 innings pitched, an ERA of 144. And he looks unbeatable. And I think, unironically, that he might win the Cy Young this year.
What is his whip?
His whip?
His whip.
Whip? Whip is 0.880.
Whoa. Wow,
that's good whip.
Yesterday.
That's a great whip.
I feel like you would have appreciated us watching the Jays game yesterday because there were some good Jays bets going on yesterday. We were all cheering Alek Manoah on yesterday. Tyler, your bag milk hot performer of the week.
I'm going to give it to Noah Gregor, who rolls in his second game back in Edmonton, local boy from Beaumont. You may have heard of his uncle as well. He works for us on the site. He's like a staff writer. He does some articles.
Is it Brownlee?
but Noah Gregor, a good local boy, shows up, pots a couple of goals early on. He's got a bunch of family in attendance as well. What a great moment. Mm-hmm. Noah Gregor, he's battled some tough luck this year, but he's gone from an American League guy to a bona fide NHL player this season. And you know what? I've met him like once, but I'm proud of him. Good for you, Noah. This is why I'm hot because I'm
fly. You ain't because you're not. I partied with his dad once in Moose Jaw, and that guy can put him back.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
I've met Noah twice. There was once when I was working.
Well, you just said once.
You just said
once. No, I remembered the second time. There was once when I was
You didn't actually meet him, did you?
Once when I was working at Lids. I was working at Lids. That was my like job at a high school. And Noah came in like a week before the NHL draft and brought a hat. And I was like, hey, if you sign up for a Lids club card, I can save you 10% today. And he was like, sure. I was like, all right, what's your name? He's like, Noah Gregor. And I was like, hey, you're getting drafted next week. And he was like, yeah, I am. And then the other time I was walking around Rogers' place after an Oil Kings
Raiders game. Was that the end of the conversation?
That's pretty much it.
Hey, you're getting drafted next week. Yes, I am.
Bye. Fucking right. See ya. Yeah.
Cool.
And he came up to me and he was like, hey, I'm trying to get to like this area of the rink to see my family, but like, I don't know where it is. And we were just in the stairwell at Rogers place. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know either, but I can help you out. And we walked up and down stairs and eventually found a spot.
So those were two terrible stories.
Thank you.
What did you guys, talk about?
I never said they were good, but
yeah.
When you're walking in the stairwell, what did you guys talk about?
I was wearing a TSN jacket.
Like, remember me? I sold you a hat.
I gave you 10% off. I signed you up and then I knew you were getting drafted.
I was really hoping your story was going to be like, oh yeah, we were walking around the arena and then he recognized me before his draft. It's like, wait a minute. Didn't I buy you a draft
at all?
I get to work with your uncle.
I was wearing a TSN jacket and he was like, hey, my uncle does a radio show for that station. And I was like, yeah, I'm aware. I
never heard of him. Sorry. Yeah.
He's also a staff writer at Oilers Nation.
My uncle sells hats for that radio station.
Those were terrible stories. Sorry, Cam.
Just awful.
One time Tyler went and got coffee and that was the story.
Jesus.
Rick,
no narrative arc here. Nothing.
What do you want me to do? Like add elements?
A little sizzle. Rick,
suspense, please.
Your bag milk hot form of the week.
You know, we're going to give it to someone else from last night's game. He's kind of done the exact same thing Noah done this year, where he's been an AHL guy to start. Pretty sure he's seen the last of his AHL career. Scored his first goal last night. I'm fairly certain he's on the all abs Swedish team. Philip Broberg.
What just happened
there? The big guy is smoking hot.
Did you just gag? What just happened?
Nah. It wasn't
you me. Just went.
Tyler's not a big Swedish abs guy.
What happened there?
Stomach got a little upset.
Rick's giving his thing, and I look over at Tyler. And he's like, what are you doing?
Just let me have some water, guys.
Okay.
So when I started, almost died last week on the episode.
Yeah, Rick almost went down, head down.
What?
Yeah, that was bad. Rick's.
I started choking on something last week.
He turned as red as your shirt last week. On so the podcast.
Bad. Why? What were you doing?
Just started choking on something.
He's like, want to watch me hold my breath? And then he's like, okay, I'm going to hold my breath. And then he almost passed out.
All right.
Well, that was a good episode.
It was an episode. That's for sure.
We're going to two a week next week, everybody.
Can't wait. So set your schedules accordingly. Oilers Nation Radio doing two a week starting next week, Tuesdays and Fridays. But for now, this is episode 191. We've all got to get set for a party tonight because the Nation crew is going out for dinner. I'm looking forward to it. So from all of our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash and Cornerstone Insurance and Buster's Pizza, we say thanks for listening.
Shout out, Mr.
What are you
Booth.
Chuckling at over there?
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Ooh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.